I'm going to ask you now to please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 8, verse 25 through chapter 9, verse 28. We've been working our way together through the book of Exodus. This morning we want to consider together the struggle between man and God. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Exodus. We're picking up where we left off last time in chapter 8 with verse 25. Let's hear God's word. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, "Go, sacrifice to your God within the land." But Moses said, "It would not be right to do so, for the offerings we shall sacrifice to the Lord our God are an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice offerings abominable to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he tells us." So Pharaoh said, "I will let you go to sacrifice the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you must not go very far away. Plead for me." Then Moses said, "Behold, I'm going out from you, and I will plead with the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh cheat again by not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." So Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also and did not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die.' And the Lord set a time, saying, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land.' And the next day the Lord did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead. The heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take handfuls of soot from the kiln, and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt.' So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you yourself and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I've raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow I will cause very heavy hail to fall, such as never has been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore send, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter. For every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, so there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and beast and every plant of the field in the land of Egypt. Then Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very heavy hail,
such as had never been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation.
The hail struck down everything that was in the field and all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the hail struck down every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, "This time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as always, we marvel that you have preserved for us some, not all, but some of your great acts of history, that we might marvel at your great works, that we might learn from your deeds, that we might learn to know you and trust you and follow you and serve you. Lord, we thank you that you have preserved your word for us, and pray now, Lord, that you would hide it in our hearts, that you would impress it upon us, that we would hear and understand your word, that as we consider your word, you yourself would speak to us and enable us to hear and believe and receive. We do ask this, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a struggle between man and God. I mean, we've seen this over the last few weeks with Moses. The Lord told Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, let my people go." But Moses didn't want to. So he hemmed and hawed, he drug his feet, he made excuses, and then there was this struggle between the Lord and Moses. And we've been looking at that over a number of weeks now, the struggle between the Lord and Moses. And yet, what we see this morning is, it's not just Moses. We all do it. We all struggle with the Lord and resist his will. Now look with me at our text this morning. Remember, we're picking up here in chapter 8, where we left off last time, verse 25. It says, "Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go, sacrifice to your God within the land.'" Okay, there's this struggle between the Lord and Moses. And in a sense, it's an ongoing struggle. By this time, Moses has given in. He's done what the Lord said. He's gone to speak to Pharaoh. In fact, by this point, Moses has been to Pharaoh several times. But in some sense, it's still a struggle. Moses still struggles to obey the Lord. He still struggles to do the right thing. In a sense, there's an ongoing struggle between the Lord and Moses. But it's not just Moses. Because when Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, "Thus says the Lord," Pharaoh doesn't want to hear it either. It's not just Moses, but we all struggle against the Lord and resist his will. Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go." And Pharaoh says no. And so we saw this a couple of weeks ago. The Lord turned the Nile into blood. And yet Pharaoh wouldn't listen. And so then we saw last week the Lord sent a plague of frogs. Frogs were everywhere. And still, Pharaoh would not obey. And then the Lord sent a plague of gnats. And we talked about the fact last time. We're not exactly sure what that word means in ancient Hebrew. It could have been gnats or maggots or lice or even fleas. Whatever it was, God sent a plague of these bugs. Pharaoh wouldn't listen. And then the Lord sent a plague of flies, swarms of flies that filled the houses of the Egyptians. And that's where we pick up this morning. With all these flies plaguing the land, Pharaoh calls Moses and Aaron and he says, "Go sacrifice to your God within the land." Did you catch that? God said, "Let my people go. Let them come out and worship me." But Pharaoh is trying to negotiate. He says, "Okay, you can sacrifice to the Lord, but you got to do it here. You got to do it in Egypt. You got to do it in the land." This is what we try to do. We try to negotiate with God. You would think by this time Pharaoh would just surrender. I mean, the Nile's been turned to blood. There's been a plague of frogs and then gnats and then flies. You'd think by now Pharaoh would just give up. But we resist this idea of complete surrender. We try to negotiate with God. All right, God, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that. We try to maintain some sense of control. We wrestle with God and try to hold on. And we try to negotiate with the Lord. Pharaoh says, all right, you can sacrifice, but you got to do it here. Moses says, that's not going to work. Because many of the animals the Hebrews would use in worship were considered sacred to the Egyptians. I'm not going to go into all the details, but bulls, cows, rams, many of the animals that God commanded the Hebrews to use as sacrifices, those animals were considered sacred to the Egyptians, just like in parts of India, cattle are considered sacred today. And Moses says, if we begin sacrificing and slaughtering these animals in Egypt that you consider sacred, your people are going to be so offended, they're going to stone us. Moses says, no, we got to do what the Lord says. We need to go out on a 3 days journey to sacrifice. Pharaoh says, okay, I'll let you go to sacrifice the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you must not go very far away. I mean, Pharaoh doesn't have any choice. There's these swarms of flies. And says, okay, you can go, but you can't go far. And isn't that what we do? We're always wrestling with God. We resist the idea of just complete surrender to the Lord. And instead, we try to make deals with God. Lord, if you will just answer my prayer, I promise I'll read my Bible every day. Lord, if you'll just give me this one thing, I promise I'll straighten up, I'll do better, I'll pray more often, I'll come to church, I might even tithe. I mean, you know, we try to make a deal, we try to barter with God, and we make all kinds of promises. When our back is up against the wall, like Pharaoh, we make all kinds of promises to God. But then, when things get better, we go back on our word. Moses says, all right, Pharaoh, I'll pray for you. I'll pray that the Lord takes away the flies, only... Verse 29, only let not Pharaoh cheat again by not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Moses says, all right, I'll pray the Lord will take away these flies, but don't go back on your word. Remember we saw last week, Pharaoh came to Moses and said, these frogs are everywhere. Please pray the Lord to take away the frogs. If the Lord will take away the frogs, I'll let the people go worship. But when God took away the frogs, Pharaoh went back on his word. And isn't that what we do? When things are bad, we make all kinds of promises. Oh, Lord, I promise I'll straighten up. I'll do better. I'll take my spiritual walk seriously. I'll start reading the Bible again. I promise I'll work on my marriage and my family and my relationship. When things are not well, we make all kinds of promises and we try to make all kinds of deals with God. But when things get better, we go back on our word. It makes you wonder if life wasn't hard, I wonder if we would never do the things that we're supposed to do. I mean, it's when things aren't going well, that's when we pray. That's when we read scripture. That's when we get back into worship. When things get better, we slack off. If life wasn't so hard, I wonder if maybe we would never do the things we're supposed to do. Sure enough, the Lord takes away the plague of flies, and verse 32 says, Pharaoh hardened his heart and did not let the people go. Chapter 9, then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. This is probably the fifth, sixth, seventh time that God has said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, let my people go. God's word doesn't change. You know, we barter with God as if somehow he's going to change his mind, as if somehow he's going to change his word. The word of God doesn't change. He says the same thing he's been saying over and over. Moses, go to Pharaoh, tell him, thus says the Lord, let my people go. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague. Now, all kinds of things happen in life. And we don't always know why there's suffering or pain and why things go wrong. And certainly, it's not always your fault. You know, when somebody is sick, it doesn't always mean God is judging you or that we don't always know why things happen to us. But we saw last week that sometimes the Lord can use trouble and problem to reveal himself and to humble us and to make himself known to us. And if your problems are not enough to get your attention, if you don't have enough problems right now to get serious with the Lord, God is able to turn up the heat. That's what we see here. Okay, God has already turned the Nile into blood, and then he sent the plague of frogs, and then the gnats, and then the flies. You think that'd be enough. But in case that's not enough, God says, if you still won't obey me, I'm going to reach forth my hand with a very severe plague. The Lord is able to turn up the heat and increase the intensity of our trials if that's what you need. The Lord says, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague on your livestock that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. Now, one thing if you've been with us, one thing you've seen is that when God sends these plagues, the plagues were not just judgment against Pharaoh, they were also judgment against Pharaoh's gods. Remember, the Egyptians worshiped something like 80 major gods plus many other minor gods. And so when the Lord sent these plagues, they weren't just random catastrophic events, but they were specific plagues designed to target and to challenge specific Egyptian gods. And in this case, a plague on the livestock out in the field was probably designed to judge and condemn certain Egyptian gods that were symbolized by cattle. I won't go into all that. There was the goddess Isis, who was often depicted as a woman, but with cow's horns. There was the goddess Hathor, the goddess of love and glamour, who was depicted as a woman with a cow's head. There was Apis. He was supposed to be a god of virility, depicted as a bull. In fact, there were a number of bull cults in Egypt. The bull was a very, very significant religious symbol. When God says, if you don't repent, I'm going to bring a plague, a pestilence upon your livestock, it seems to be not just judgment on Pharaoh, but on these specific Egyptian gods, okay, that were represented by the forms of these different cattle. But here's what I want you to see this morning. Verse 4. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. And the Lord set a time, saying, the Lord will do this thing in the land. Okay. Now, here are two things that are important. Okay. First of all, back when God sent the plague of frogs, Moses said to Pharaoh, when do you want the frogs to go away? Pharaoh said, well, tomorrow. Moses said, okay, I'm going to pray to the Lord. The Lord's going to take away the frogs at exactly that time so that you'll know it's the Lord. You can't say it's a coincidence. You can't just say it's a random catastrophe. I'm going to use specific timing so you're going to know it's from the Lord. And then when it was the plague of flies, God deliberately made a distinction between his people and the people of Pharaoh. The Egyptians had swarms of flies throughout their land, but the Hebrews living in Goshen didn't have any flies at all. So those were two different things that God used on two separate occasions. Once it was specific timing, and once it was a distinction between the Hebrews and the Egyptians to show this was from the Lord. Now God's going to do both. Now God says, I'm going to make a distinction, and the plague is going to fall on the Egyptian livestock, but not on the livestock of the Hebrews. And I'm going to set a specific time, and it's going to happen tomorrow, just as I say. What we see here is that God's command hasn't changed. Let my people go, that they may worship me. But he's gradually turning up the heat. He's increasing the intensity and severity of these trials. Well, he sends this plague on the livestock, and Pharaoh still won't listen. And so in verse 8, the Lord says to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from the kiln. Let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. In ancient Egypt, it was a common custom. The Egyptian priest would take ashes and scatter them in the air as a form of blessing. Okay, much like our benediction at the end of the service. The Egyptian priest would scatter ashes as a form of blessing. Well, the Lord tells Moses, take some ashes from the kiln, which would be an oven used for hardening pottery or baking bricks. And he says, take ashes from the kiln and you shall scatter them in the air before Pharaoh. But it won't be a blessing. It's going to be a curse. It's going to be judgment. Because these ashes will form into fine soot and they'll fall and form boils, open sores on man and beast. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses threw it in the air and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. Now remember, when the Lord turned the Nile into blood, Pharaoh summoned his sorcerers and his magicians, and somehow they were able to simulate, they were able to imitate this miracle of turning water to blood. And then when the Lord sent a plague of frogs, somehow the sorcerers and magicians were able to imitate this drawing up frogs from the Nile. But when the Lord sent the plague of gnats, the sorcerers weren't able to imitate that. They were humiliated by it. We mentioned that the Egyptian priest would bathe himself every day and shave all the hair off their body every day. It was part of their ceremonial purification to be physically clean. And so for them to be covered with gnats or maggots or lice or fleas or whatever they were, that was a humiliation. And they couldn't reproduce that miracle. And so they had to say, this is the finger of God. And now the sorcerers are so covered with boils, they can't even stand before Moses. What's happening is that God is increasing the intensity. If your problems are not enough to get your attention, God is able to increase the intensity of our trials to humble us before him. What we see this morning is there's a struggle between man and God. And the Lord always wins. Look at verse 12. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Okay, now keep that place marked and flip back to chapter 8, verse 32. Okay, this is very important. Chapter 8, verse 32 says, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Okay? Pharaoh was a wicked, hard-hearted man. He was stubborn. He was evil. He dug in his heels. He would not surrender to the Lord. Pharaoh is not some innocent puppet being manipulated by God. He is evil. He is hard-hearted. He is stubborn. And he's responsible for his actions. I mean, we're all responsible for the decisions and the choices that we make. And yet, when we come to chapter 9, verse 12, it says, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Well, it just said Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and now it says, well, the Lord hardened his heart. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that you and I, you're responsible for the decisions you make. You decide not to listen to the Lord. You put it off. You're responsible for those decisions and choices, and yet the Lord is still sovereign. He's still in control of even that. Here, Pharaoh is being rebellious and stubborn, and yet even that somehow is still part of God's plan. Verse 13, the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. You can't negotiate with God. He's not going to change. This is the same command he's given over and over again. But now he says, for this time, I will send all my plagues on you yourself. Literally, I'm going to send all my plagues on your heart. Okay? God is increasing the intensity of the plagues so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now, I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. God says, Moses, tell Pharaoh that I could have easily sent a disease and struck down Pharaoh and all the Egyptians. Verse 16, but for this purpose, I have raised you up to show you my power. One of the most significant verses in the whole book of Exodus, also one of the most mysterious, but one of the most significant. God says to Pharaoh, for this purpose I have raised you up. You know, God is somehow sovereign. He's somehow in control of all things that he can say, I'm the one who raised you up and made you Pharaoh. And I did it for this purpose, that you might know my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. This was a very wicked man, and yet even that was part of God's plan. God says, I can use even your wicked stubbornness, Pharaoh, to make myself known in all the world. You think about it. Here we are, some more than 3,000 years later. Totally different country, totally different part of the world, totally different culture. And yet every child who's ever been to Sunday school has heard of the plagues of Egypt. God used even this man's wicked hard-heartedness to make his wonder and glory known. God's working out his plan. And you can't prevent that. There's a sense in which we can resist God's will, in the sense that we can be disobedient. But there's also a sense in which that you can't resist God's will, in the sense that you can't keep God from working out his plans. Sometimes he works through us. When we humble ourselves and we trust him and we walk in his path, and God works through us to carry out his plans. And sometimes God works in spite of us. When we're like Pharaoh, when we're being hard-hearted and stubborn, and God works in spite of us. But God is always working out his plan. You can't thwart God's plan. Listen to what he says. He says, Pharaoh, you're still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will cause very heavy hail to fall, such as never been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Okay. Some scholars say that up to this point, Egyptians had never seen hail before. I don't know if that's true, because there's other scholars who say, well, some parts of Egypt had seen hail. Some scholars say, oh, there'd been lots of hail in Egypt over the years. I don't have any idea. But God says, I'm going to send hail, the likes of which you've never seen. And it's interesting, because this is a very, very similar to the way Egyptian pharaohs would often boast. It was a common boast. For example, Thutmose III would say, I'm about to do something the likes of which has never been seen since this country was founded. That was a common language or expression of the pharaoh when he would boast. Now God turns it on his head and he says, I'm going to cause very heavy hail to fall, such as never has been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now, therefore, send. Get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter, for every man and beast that's in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. The Lord is not only a God of justice, but he's also a God of tender mercy. I mean, here he is, he's talking to his enemy. He's talking to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's court. And he tells him in advance, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a terrible hailstorm, the likes of which you've never seen. And God warns them. He says, bring in your slaves, bring in your servants, bring in your animals out of the field. Get them into safe shelter, because anything left out in the field is going to die. God gives us a warning for all of us to heed. God freely offers salvation to any who will listen. God doesn't take any delight in our suffering and our problems. He doesn't want us to be condemned and judged. In fact, God himself took on flesh and went to the cross to take our judgment, to take our condemnation, so we wouldn't be judged. He took that judgment for us. God is a God of great mercy and compassion. He gives us this warning for us to heed. He freely offers salvation to any who will listen. He tells Pharaoh and Pharaoh's court, this is what I'm going to do. Take shelter. Verse 20 says, then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field. God gives a warning for everyone to heed. He freely offers salvation to any who will listen. But the question is, will you listen? Will you listen as God calls you to make peace with him? God calls you to stop fighting him and surrender to him. He gave his life on the cross. that peace with God might be possible, that you might be completely forgiven. You don't have to be judged. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to be at war with God. You don't have to wrestle and struggle with God. Jesus gave his life on the cross that you might have peace with God. You surrender yourself to him. You trust in Christ and what he's done. God will completely forgive you. Your sin will be completely paid for. You'll be pardoned. You'll be welcomed. You'll be accepted. You'll be at peace with God. God will receive you as one of his own children. You don't have to struggle with God. The question is, will you listen as God calls you to himself? Well, in verse 23, 24, and 25, we have a description of this terrible storm. It says, the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth. The Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of hail, very heavy hail, such as never been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the field, in all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time I've sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there's been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Finally, after this horrible hailstorm, Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron. He says, I'm wrong. I've sinned. I and my people are wrong, and I've had enough of this hail. I've had enough of the thunder and the lightning and the hail. Pharaoh says, in effect, I give up. Lord, you win. It's a struggle between man and God. And the Lord always wins. Because he's God. You know, he's not an equal. He's not a peer. He's not one of us that you can wrestle with and outsmart and maybe defeat. God isn't just a little bit smarter than us. He's not just a little more powerful or a little wiser. He's the Lord. He's God. We're talking about a whole other dimension. We're talking about the Lord of heaven and earth. God's will cannot be thwarted. His plans cannot be stopped. There's no way you can defeat God. That's a wonderful thing. Because God is good. What kind of world would it be if God gave in to my silliness and my foolishness and my stubbornness? It's a blessing that God in his goodness cannot be overcome, but the Lord will always win. We saw this morning in our call to worship that Jesus Christ humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross. And because of that, God the Father has given Jesus the name above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you want to fight with God, you can fight with God till your deathbed. But one day, you're going to stand before the Lord in judgment day, and you're going to have to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Much like Pharaoh did. Pharaoh wasn't born again. But circumstances were forcing him to acknowledge the Lord is God. And you know, you can do that. You can fight with God until your death, and you can stand before the judgment day and reluctantly have to acknowledge that God is the Lord, and you'll be judged, but you don't have to. You can humble yourself before the Lord now. And Jesus Christ offers you salvation and forgiveness and peace with God and blessing. You can just quit fighting him. Surrender yourself, body and soul, to the Lord Jesus, and he will pardon you, he will welcome you, he will receive you, and he'll change you. You know, we mentioned this morning that it wasn't just Pharaoh. Moses struggled with the Lord. But Moses was very different than Pharaoh, because even though Moses struggled with the Lord, Moses is like you and me. We struggle to do the right thing. We struggle to obey. And yet, Moses still trusted the Lord. And because of that, Moses was growing. He was making progress. He struggled, but remember, he finally did go to Pharaoh. And what we're seeing as we're going through Exodus is that it became a little bit easier and a little bit easier. And the further we go along, Moses is growing because he trusted the Lord and God is at work in him. And what we're going to see through the book of Exodus is that more and more, Moses is becoming more and more the man God's calling him to be. There's always going to be struggles in life. We all struggle. But you don't have to struggle with God. You can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, take away that struggle with him. Life is a struggle, but you don't have to struggle with the Lord. You come to Jesus, and you can have peace with God. He will pardon you, he'll forgive you, and he'll change you. And more and more and more make you into that person that God's calling you to be. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we all resist you in different times and different ways. Sometimes it's fear, doubt, unbelief. We don't trust you as we ought. We think we know better. Sin just gets such a grip on us. Lord, we thank you that you can be trusted. You can be trusted more than we can be trusted. You can be trusted more than the things around us can be trusted. You can be trusted more than anything can be trusted. And Lord, help us to stop fighting you. If we're going to fight, help us to fight sin. Help us to fight against disobedience. Help us to fight against wickedness and evil. Help us to stop fighting you. Help us to make peace with you, to find peace with you through Jesus. Help us to fight for you. Help us, Lord, finding peace in Jesus Christ. Help us to fight for you like Moses. Help us to overcome fear. Help us to overcome our excuses. Help us to overcome our hesitations and our reservations. Help us to fight for you, to fight for what's right, to fight for what's true. Help us, Lord, to follow you, even as you boldly came into this world and even went to the cross and gave yourself in sacrificial love. Help us, Lord, to follow you out into this world, giving ourselves in sacrificial service and love. Help us, oh Lord, to fight for what's right, what's good, what's true. Help us, oh Lord, this morning. If there's those here who don't yet know you, or those who've been wrestling with you, help us, Lord, to find peace with you this morning through Jesus Christ. We ask this, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.